Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started. Hey ladies, welcome back. Today we're getting our minds and bodies in champion shape. Joining us are Dr. Niva, a highly respected neurologist who understands the brain-body connection better than most. As an undefeated tennis champion, she knows firsthand the power of mental strength and resilience. Also joined by Rick Macy, the legendary tennis coach who's transformed the careers of numerous athletes, including Venus and Serena Williams. His unwavering belief in potentiality has led to success in the world of tennis. These two powerhouses teamed up to write a book called Billion Dollar Mind, a practical guide to the game of life. Let's jump in and hear how they can help us all be winners on and off the court. All right. So I'm so glad that we have a chance to connect with Dr. Niva and Rick Macy. So I would love for you to both introduce yourselves and share with our listeners a little bit more of who you are and what led you into where you're at today to write this incredible book titled Billion Dollar Mind.
Thanks so much, Rick. Thanks so much, Rachel, for having us. So my name is Niva, Dr. Terrace. I run a neuromuscular clinic in Orlando, and I was always fascinated as a child about mental strength. I thought that was very important in terms of succeeding in life. And even I played tennis, and of course, Rick was my coach, but I realized that that was a common theme when I was growing up and throughout my life. And throughout life's struggles, mental strength is even more important. But the fascinating part is that it's harder to become strong mentally. So I believe it's an exercise. I believe it's a very important part of life. And it's a part that we have to feed our minds to train and feed our minds to become stronger. When I would visit Rick at his amazing academy in Boca, there were signs everywhere on positivity and mental strength. And every time I read that, I would feel energized. Why is it that some sign or motivational quote just all of a sudden kind of flips a switch and makes you think positively and more energized, more powerful? So that's very important. I think the book delves into the power of our mind, how we think, and our mental strength to kind of get to where we want in life. And when I saw Rick had all that, and I had that, we had a lot in common, and it brought up the idea about the book one day when I was coming for a photo shoot for a magazine article I wanted to do with him. I said, hey, you know, I have an idea about a book. And I was still blown away by the fact that, you know, a couple of weeks later, he texted me back. He said, how's the book coming along? I said, what? I was writing it like a snail, one dark wind at a time. You know, like, I didn't know. I was studying it every day. I love mental strength. I was passionate about it. But then when he texted me, I was like, whoa, I don't do anything. Rick asked me to do it. I'm going to get this done. So that's when the book came out.
No, thank you. Okay. Yeah. My name's Rick Macy. I coach tennis, but I'm really a life coach. I've done this a long time. Started at age 20. To back the truck up even further, I picked up a racket when I was 12 years old, taught myself how to play. No lessons. I was number one in Ohio Valley by age 18. I got into coaching at 22. I still have as much passion today as I did back then. I still teach 50 hours a week. I've been fortunate. I've had Venus, Serena, Capriati, Roddy, Sharapova, Muskina, Pierce, Pennant, so many, over 300 national champions. I've been fortunate to have a lot of success, but I teach anybody, anytime, anywhere. But the wild card is confidence, because when you get confidence, you can do anything. And that's what I try to instill in these young kids. I get them to believe before they achieve, and I try to incorporate courage. So having a role model or a mentor that understands that part of the game, the strokes and stuff are kind of easy part for me, or the tactical part. But that's kind of what I do. And I still do it just as much today as I did back then here in Boca Raton, Florida.
Yeah. And Rick, you gave me the confidence to write the book with you. Just working with you was so inspiring. Even after the first draft, I had a million spelling errors. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm onto something. Like that confidence, even when I talk to you routinely, like I'm always connected with Rick. It's so much confidence. And I think you're just a master at that.
Yeah, everybody needs a helping hand. But that's, like I said, I don't change really strokes, I change lives. And that's really the cornerstone of what I do. Not just the top players that I've had a big influence on, kids that go to college for free, or people that become doctors, or they work harder and they just have this fuel to believe in themselves. A coach or a great mentor along the way pays big dividends.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. You need somebody who is a coach in your corner that has that confidence. What I'm getting is just like the humility and the humbleness, because you know that it's not about the tacticals. It's about the strategies of how you show up. That confidence and consistency compounded over time, right? That's what yields the results. That's what yields the confidence building. And I love that, because it's through that repetition, which you teach in tennis, obviously, but the skills that you master through life.
You know, real quick, if I can jump in here, when I went to the red carpet and then the after party for the movie King Richard, you know, VW and Venus Williams and Serena, they said the best thing. They go, "Rick, Daddy and you just brainwashed us to be number one." You know, sure, they were going to be big, strong, fast, quick, rough and tough and all that stuff, but believe and just thinking very, very differently, you know, and nurturing that every day. And that was probably the best compliment I've ever had ever, because that's so powerful, you know, how you can have effect on two young girls like that. And I do that with everybody, but with them, it just added another layer to their greatness.
It's changing part of history, right?
And changed history.
It's amazing. If you think about confidence, even the slightest and of serenity, can really dent your confidence. You don't even realize it, but it can. And it just makes you play small. And working with Rick always makes you play big. I can tell you that much. I mean, he's just so confident, so positive. That type of environment is essential. And the book talks about that. Yeah, and I think that that's what's unique is that, you know, with confidence, we tend to think that it's something that you have to learn. But I think it's something that's already within you. And it's just having a matter of somebody believing in you. Because that confidence can be dwindled in any moment. That spark, that little light that shines in all of us, it's either is it shining bright or is it snuffed out, dampened out, because it's the wear and tear of our environments and our mindset and the way that we were, you know, just through life, right? We've weathered and conditioned that. Is it enabling and empowering our confidence, or is it disempowering? And I love how you mentioned a lot of these tacticals and the strategies also in the book. So I'd love for you guys to share a little bit more of what does it mean to be confident in life, and how the book ties into that. So I want both of your perspective. What does confidence mean to you?
So confidence means that you can trust yourself. Confidence is being able to rely on yourself to do things and carrying out the actions that you want. So say you have a goal to lose weight, and then you lose weight up to your goal. You reach your goal. That builds so much confidence. Or if you want to win something, be the best in a certain profession, and you actually achieve that goal, and you keep the commitments you've made to yourself, gives you confidence. That is confidence. And confidence is a key important part to create mental strength and to give you a very good inability to let other people bother you. So important. And I think you have to do two things for confidence. One, it's kind of what we talk in the book. It's sensory. It's like an environment that gives you confidence. People are believing in you. And then you have to do things like make you confident. You have to first be in a positive environment, and then you have to act it out. So those two things together are like magic. It's so important to build those things. And it's almost like eating and then exercising, right? We have to have a good diet and then build our body. Same thing. You have to have a good mental diet, feeding ourselves with positive things, and then we have to act it out. And some of the things we do in terms of exercising for confidence, like mental exercises we do, is you can look in the mirror and just say really positive things about yourself over and over. And you can even, in a journal, write down all the things you've achieved that you wanted in the past year, past 5 years, and be really proud of yourself. And that would be true.
Confidence comes in all shapes and sizes. And to me, it's a choice. It's fleeting. You can lose it in a blink of an eye, and you can gain it back in the blink of an eye. And the key to it, because everybody is going to be tested. You're going to have problems. You're going to have ups and downs. You know what I mean? Anybody can be really good when they're good. You know, I want you to be good when things are going bad. And so I look at confidence as a choice, and I try to change everybody's perspective and keep as much confidence in them as possible. This is how I try to train people. And that's kind of how I've trained my own mind, that I control the situation. Nothing's going to control me. Because confidence, to me, is so loosey-goosey. And you can even see that in sports, how momentum changes. And it just, that's the toughest thing, to keep the belief. But I think everybody has to understand, you're going to be challenged, but you can't let other things affect it. And people just have a deeper level of belief that affects that confidence. And that's what I've seen, not just in sports, but business and everyday life, you know. But you, and it's okay to have a helping hand or have other things help you and keep that confidence. But when you understand it has to come from yourself, and like Niv said, reading positive things, hearing positive things about yourself, saying it to yourself, I am good, instead of letting everything control you and making you feel a certain way. Why are you always happy? That's kind of a choice. Everybody has the same problems. If it rains or it's sunny or people are yelling, yeah, there's many things. And so I think people have to take a step back. It's a choice. You want to be positive or negative? You want to get better or you want to get worse? Everybody needs a helping hand and they need to be inspired, but it's really a choice. And if you can look at it in those bare bones, it's really going to help you a lot.
I like how you break it down with the positive reinforcements, and it's a choice. Everything that we decide from this moment on will dictate and determine our life and our livelihood, right? So everything comes down to a choice. So having those positive reinforcements from the people that you surround yourself with, to the thoughts, to the achievements, everything kind of documented to give proof and evidence to support you in those buckets, right? Because we have two buckets, whichever ones we're filling is what is now shaping our reality. So I'd love for you to explore a little bit more into what led you guys into writing this book and then the challenges that came along with it.
Before we answer that, let me just back the truck up one more time. This is really important, especially with what I do. I make kids try things and do things that they never thought they should try or do, maybe until they get a little bigger, a little older, a little more experience. And then once I make them do it and they fail and they keep doing it and then they make it, they get the big C, which is confidence. Now they do it on their own, whether it's in out of the basket or a practice match, and then they take it into a regular match. Have to put yourself in positions where you're uncomfortable so you can get comfortable. And then that triggers confidence, like winning breeds winning, you know? So everybody needs to not be afraid to fail and do things. And so in my situation, I make kids do things and try things they never thought they would try until maybe they're older, bigger, or stronger, faster. That's why I've had a lot of kids become really good, really young, whether it be in junior tennis or on the pro tour at an early age. They're doing an adult-like thing as a kid, and the cornerstone is confidence. Now to the book. Go ahead. You can answer that question.
I give me a ton of things. Then you go. So, Rachel, you're asking what triggered the book in general? And who is it generally intended for? So there were big picture concepts here, but throughout the years, I knew mental strength was important. Of course, you know, trained at Harvard, Mayo Clinic for medical schools, had big names behind me. I knew that when I could study and get these high scores, I was like, yay, and I could win tennis matches. All that was through mental strength. I knew that was important. There's always something lacking with me in my mind. I knew there was a little bit of an issue. I was like, okay, I'm not as productive as, you know, I had a friend in Mass General who could stay up all night, see hundreds of patients and write a book. And I was like, how is he so productive? You know, I'd always think like that. And then I was kind of curious about, I had issues with, you know, I was not always successful with people because I was different. I was always working hard, I had a different diet. I was just different. And I had heartbreak, you know, with people because some people would just not be like me. And I could never understand that. I was always failing. So I realized like, wow, you know, I have an idea for this book because I need to be able to recover from heartbreaks or emotional pain. I realized, I was like, why was I in this kind of mental loop where I was constantly beating myself up about a relationship or something that was
not working right or being disappointed in somebody else. And I was like, I need to get out of it, but it would stop me from working. But emotionally, I was like tied up into this.
Then I realized, okay, as soon as I turned my attention to something else, maybe it was like biking and then seeing a bird or, you know, talking to somebody else, all of a sudden that emotional pain disappeared. I said, wow, like it's just like a night and day difference. It's just a matter of our thoughts. And then I realized that we can help people with a book. We can, our thoughts can be easily programmed to the way we want it. We can recover from heartbreak and pain by our mind and our thoughts. And then I realized that again, you know, I play tennis and I was like, well, Rick, you know, probably does this all the time for a living. I mean, it's so important for tennis players because we're playing individually. We don't really have anybody else to talk to on the court. The people that need the most mental strength are tennis players. So, you know, putting all these things together, I thought this book could cover and help almost everybody. Anybody who wanted to get to the next level in life, anybody who was struggling with heartbreak or getting over emotional pain, anybody who wanted to be mentally strong for on the tennis court. So that's where it stemmed. You know, and I was even high patients, like they're in wheelchairs, no ability to move their arms and legs, but mentally they were so positive. They were like rolling around, having fun, vacation, enjoying life. So it's the mind that I realized so well, our thoughts. They're worth billions of dollars.
When Dalton
mentioned about the book and about mental strength, and obviously this is right in my wheelhouse, and then to kind of put together the Daily Double, the medical part and how the brain really works, and then what I do every day with motivation and confidence and extracting greatness from others, you got it coming from the everyday type of situation, and then the medical. So that's why I knew this would be a bestseller. I knew this was going to go over the rainbow. I do this every single day, but now it's in a book where the whole world can enjoy it instead of just people on maybe court number one or on a Zoom or the other platforms that I do stuff on. So it was like a no-brainer to put it in a book, and the way it came out, there was a lot of validation for me over my career. That's really is what's going on, you know, and the way that Dr. Niv just laid it out and explained it, it was beyond empty.
I love how you broke it down. And you mentioned about overcoming those hurdles and the struggles, the heartache, the heartbreak, and the emotional components. And that's one of the things that I think really spoke out in the book is that you really take a deep dive into the emotional component, because we tend to think, okay, mindset is everything. But when there's some emotional triggers or traumas and things that we're still trying to figure out in life, it's like, how do we outthink our emotions? And then you mentioned about it being on the court an individual sport. And I think personally why this book spoke to me is I'm a former fitness competitor, bodybuilder. Very individual sport, very individual, but you're on stage in a competitive space. So that was such a lesson for me in the fitness space because of self-control, self-discipline, a lot of what you share in the book. And I said, wow, yes, because the mindset is completely different at that standard of excellence, especially in an individual sport. But I would love for you, Dr. Niv, to unpack some of the emotional components that you think would be hindering somebody to tap into that billion-dollar mindset?
I love that question because the emotional component is a lot of it we don't talk about, because in tennis or in life, we try to shove it under the rug or be like, no, we're strong. But emotional component, you know, I try not to go into it too much because I didn't want a pity party. You know, that's not what this book is about, is to self-pity. But it really is about saying, look, if there is an emotional pain, the fundamental concept behind that, the more fundamental way to control that is to be able to recognize it, recognize why there is an emotional pain, and then getting to the root of it and then controlling that thought that's creating the emotional pain. And so that's really the essence of dealing with emotional pain. And then once you control the thought, then you're going to control the behavior. I'll give you an example. For instance, I had a colleague that I was working with before this book many years ago. And this is how I started, like, you know, going back into self-help. But I started
communicating with them. And, you know, when you are in a position of power as a woman, you're just starting to communicate with people. And, you know, sometimes men take it a little bit sensitive and they could be a little bit like on the perfectionist side. So I'd be like, okay, I need this done by this day. And, you know, I would communicate. People didn't get back to me. There was sometimes, you know, people honest. And, you know, and so these type of interactions, sometimes you want to be friends with somebody, but you're not able to make it work for whatever reason, then it can hurt you because you start thinking, okay, what's wrong with me? Why? But this is not working. And over, and you try to fix yourself. Okay, I need to email a certain way. I need to call a certain way. I need to talk a certain way. I need to behave a certain way, to dress. I fixed everything. I thought, okay. Every part of me was like upgraded. I tried to fix myself and I tried to improve me so I could connect with, you know, other people I was working with. That still didn't work. Not the same. It was like oil and water. I was a certain person. Someone else was a certain person with different values. And then once I realized that I had to focus on me, who I am, be honest to myself and recognize that I was creating my own emotional pain. I had to solve and heal that stuff. Then I realized the inner workings of my mind. And I even went to these mental loops over and over again where I was going back and doing the same thing over, like emailing the same person and getting the same response. Once I fixed that, then I got way beyond mentally strong. But we create our own emotional pain. We don't realize that. That's a very important trap.
It's almost like you're keeping yourself stuck in that loop, in that narrative.
Oh, absolutely. We did this for years. Our whole lives, people do it.
Not where at all.
You know, talking a little bit about like emotion or frustration or whatever, you know, when you're playing a tennis match, you're going to lose. You could actually lose more points and win the match. People don't realize that, you know, and the best players of all time, like Nadal, Federer, Djokovic, they lost like 45% of the points, even though they won over 80% of their matches. So there's going to be failure all the time, and you're going to lose points, and you're going to have an emotion go through your body, this feeling. Now, they've trained their mind, greatness, like the best of all time, like Serena and people, like it didn't even happen. Okay, that's mind control. It didn't even happen. And that's crazy stuff. And that separates great from good. When you're at that level, it didn't even happen. When they're in such a routine, they become a machine. This is what I try to tell the students. Look how they respond after failure, after an emotion. You know, they double fault or they lose a 20-ball rally. Look how they handle it. Now, you can get mad if you get determined, but most people get mad and then more mad. You know, it's mind control, it's perspective. So dealing with the emotion, you know, there's many different ways to deal with it. And greatness at the highest level in any sport, all right, they've mastered it. And what I tell the kids a lot, and they all answer it the same way. If you hit the ball into the net, say I'm talking to a 12-year-old, if you hit the ball in the net and you were hitting with Alcaraz or Nadal or Federer, and you hit in the net, you're going to feel a certain way. But if you hit the ball in the net and you're hitting with an 8-year-old, you'd feel a certain way. But it still went into the net, you know? And this is how the mind tricks us. It's mind control. So dealing with emotion is a wild card, because if you can't do that, then your confidence is going to get chipped at on a regular basis.
And I think it's not, you were saying, not just from fourth, we talk about
this. It's how you handle every situation. You could have the same thing happen to five people and all five would respond differently. You could respond positive and become almost what I call bulletproof. You don't stress out and then your confidence doesn't get attacked. I'm just telling you, it's like, well, you got to train yourself. You got to take the stairs, not the escalator. It's not going to happen right now. And everybody is impatient, and that's the problem. It's brick by brick by brick, and before you know it, you got a beautiful, confident house.
Right. And so how would you, what are some of the tips that you can give to overcome that adversity in the mental state? Because as you said, you can hit the ball into the net against the greatest player or an 8-year-old, but the ball hit the net. So how do you differentiate between the two and control that mindset to now focus on, let's just pick it back up and keep going so that we don't dwell on what happened, but what could be next? Like, pick yourself back up, that resilient?
I love this question because it's really in my wheelhouse. The ultimate flip mentally, when you make a mistake, you can smile. Because smiling has a profound effect on the nervous system. Besides what it's going to do to your opponents, they're going to go, oh, what's this dude up to? You know, like, and that's Alcaraz. He's a Broadway performer with a racket in his hand. That's why I called it long ago where this was going, because mentally, besides all the physical stuff, it was just a different guy, you know? So that's the key, but it's hard to do. And if you're all about the competition and you're all about loving the battle, you handle pressure better. So I try to explain it very, very differently. And, you know, instead of saying, but went in the net against it. No, I don't even go there. I talk about they control this by responding differently. That's why, like Dr. Nip said, you're out there by yourself. When you play doubles, people are very different. They have a therapist on the court. They make a mistake. They come up, they hug, they kiss. Everything's fine. And that emotion's gone. You're letting other things control you. And they respond very different on mistakes in singles and doubles, but it's still a mistake. I train them to think like this, and that instills enormous confidence. And that overall affects the mental toughness, not only of an athlete, but of a person. Because you got to be able to handle things, and how you handle it is your perspective of how you can flip it and turn a negative into a positive. And that's the hardest thing to do. You got to control this situation. Don't let it control you. But it takes time. It's hard to just wake up one day or be born that way. Your environment has a lot to do with it. You know, what you read, what you put in your mouth, what you put in your head, all this stuff can have something to do with it. But you got to take a step back and understand that it takes time, like anything else. Good things in life take time.
I love that. You're right. And it's about flipping that script over and over again. Because of everything that, quote unquote, bad could happen, there's always a good to counter that. And it's where we shift our focus, shift the narrative, flip the script. And now it's like that resiliency to back up. Yes, the ball hit the net. So what? Let's move on. So keeping that mental fortitude and strength going. I love your take on that too.
Yeah. Well, let's say when people hit the ball like 10 feet out or they hit it a foot out, they respond differently. Let's go out. Or hits a frame and it goes out, or it goes out a little bit. They think it's a worse miss because it hit the frame. There's difference in positive errors and negative errors. If you got the right intention, I tell the kids all the time, that was a positive error. It's kind of silly when you start getting into it like that. It is what it is. And the best thing I tell them is next. You know, if you have to remember to forget, I think that's the number one thing in life and sports and anything. You want to remember the good stuff, obviously, but you got to remember to forget. If you don't have a short memory, you're going to live in the past. And I guarantee you'll get past. Now it's your sir. She nipped and serve. You're a starter. All right.
That's great. So yeah, we're talking about, I love the concept of flipping it. We have a chapter in the book, it's important to flip things. But I think, you know, in modern world, the great world of sport, it's kind of that experience because you're by yourself, you don't lose importance, and really feel a lot of ownership for everything. And then my world is a little bit different with that. Dying. And so when that happens, patients, you know, I think this book is really great for that, where people are not able to do the things they're doing before because they're sick. Sometimes now it requires a desire to reframe. If you want to keep, so everything has to be reframed and looked at a different way. For my patients who have 4 to 6 months left to live, they got to look at life differently and got to really enjoy life. Enjoy every single moment. That's going to improve their quality of life, their mental strength, and what they're doing every day. Sometimes they get so caught up with the disease, they forget what life is about. And the same thing happens when people are not able to run, you know, the miles that were running before, and now they can just walk. The fact is they have to reframe all of that. Part of reframing, we've always talked about gratitude. It's so important to be grateful for what they do. And when they reframe it, it just changes their whole perspective.
Yes, because it's almost like what we focus on can limit us. And being in your space with your patients, yeah, you got to bear some bad news and not let the news be the determining and defining factor, but it's like now it gives a new purpose for living. And that's the reframe of the mindset. So I love how you, in two different scenarios, the lesson is still the same.
Reset.
I love that. And so when we talk about overcoming limiting beliefs or self-sabotage, what are some of your tips to help build that self-esteem and that self-confidence? Because we can really keep that focus if we're not in the right mindset.
Yeah, I think the number one thing, you know, most people are kind of afraid. I think everybody should try to ask for help, you know? That, I think that's really important. You know, people, you know, they might luck into something and then they get more confident. You know, you got to put your, it's hard to do things. Oh, I can't do that. Look at that person. I can never do that. You know, they don't understand. They were right where they are today and they had to take the stairs. No one just zips up there to the penthouse, you know? So the number one thing would be ask for help, you know? And, you know, don't be afraid when you ask for help. If you get rejected, that's part of the journey. If you would see all these people that are very confident and whatever they do are successful, they've failed so many times. They've been rejected so many times. It's not a slam dunk, but no one looks at it like that because we look at it like they're this, but they don't understand what it took to get there. And everybody has a story. Everybody has a story and you can't make the stories up half the time, you know, but the people look at those people. Oh, look at that. So I would say the number one thing is ask. And if anybody can get out of anything I've said, I think that's powerful. But no one's going to come to your door and just do it for you. You just have to not be afraid to ask and study things and look at positive stuff on YouTube, motivational speakers, and be aware more of what you're putting in your head and try to be around positivity. Because at the end of the day, that makes you be able to handle things better and that can stimulate a lot more confidence.
I love that take. How about you?
Yeah, so the self-limiting beliefs are one of my passions because I myself had to overcome all of them.
We all are human.
So I could tell you two words for that. That would be overcome fear. There's no end to that because the fear is self-generated that we do. I mean, just even text Rick, I can tell you this much, just to say it was like, oh, like, you know, like, I, and it's not like he's laughing because he doesn't realize it. From the outside, we create so much fear. And part of what I do in the clinic is really reduce people's fear because it's all self-generated. And it took me lectures on YouTube over and over again. I would listen to it, you know, just whatever I could find about overcoming fear and realizing fear is not real. Your best life is on the other side of fear. Keep going. Just do it. Just try. And even if you fail, at least you try. And if you get those attitude, those thoughts in your head and the attitude that there is really no fear, because the majority of people limit themselves because of fear. And I had, I have patients, some of them, as I said, are in wheelchairs, but they're dating somebody. So they're not afraid. They have no arms, like, they have a good attitude. They're just like happy and free and positive. And then people that are fully functional and look great and, you know, very attractive people. They're so afraid. They won't go out of their house. They won't say, oh, I can't drive, or oh, I, you know, no one's going to like me. And they already come up with conclusions that don't make sense. Oh, I'm going to get rejected. Already coming up with stories that don't make sense. So dealing with your own fear and those thoughts that you're self-generated, you can overcome fear. You're going to overcome, even if it's a little bit. Say, oh, I was afraid to, you know, I was afraid to text someone or get a hold of somebody and you actually do it. All of a sudden you get confidence and positivity and you just keep doing it. Really, so there's nothing to be afraid about. But it is all kind of connected with asking for help and going outside of your comfort zone.
You know, when I said ask for help, the best asking for help is the book. That's why people read books. One word, one sentence, one snippet could change your life. Just that much. You know, and as you read the book, there's so many positive things in there that can give you a little juice, a little adrenaline. It's the best breakfast, lunch, and dinner all wrapped in one. You know, put that into your head. That might just be a little bit of a buffer for all the things, or it could change the way you think. And that's what I love about the book. It's like there's so much stuff of me in there in the way I do things to extract greatness. And so if people are still a little shy to ask for help, you know, read the book. And the one thing great about the book, it's an ongoing thing. You can go back in and get these things to motivate, stimulate, educate yourself. And if you want to become more confident, if you want to achieve more, and that's, the book's not about tennis, nothing to do with tennis. They can see me on court number one here in Boca if they want that. The book is for the game of life, and that's much more important than the game of tennis.
Yeah, and you see fear comes in so many different colors, shapes, and sizes, and that's some of the things that will hold one back, and fear of asking for help, because what if it's fear of rejection, and if I'm rejected, they won't like me, they won't accept me. And so it comes down to that root fear that you're not going to be loved or that you're not going to be enough. And so some of those things are challenges that, as an individual, self-awareness in the book, that self-awareness concept, because when you can redirect that fear from the insecurity and get down to the root, now you realize there really is no fear at all. It's just that I'm reluctant to put myself out there because, and so one of the quotes that really resonated with me when I was up and coming in my journey was, do the thing you fear the most, and the fear of death is certain. And that's by Mark Twain. I remember reading that quote, and this was a mantra that I reinforced every time. I was like, oh, I feel that resistance coming up. What's that telling me? I'm like, ah, that's fear. So I would just visualize in my mind, me turning around, instead of fear chasing me, I would stand and bold and brave and say, hey, you have no power over me. And that was the minute fear just diminished. And I had that confidence and boldness to now go tackle or address or ask for help or any of those things that were holding me back. So you talk a lot of these strategies in the book, visualization, gratitude, affirmations, power of our words. I'd love for you to share a few of those additional tips, because fear, and even that acronym, false evidence appearing real. Fear, that's one of the greatest things that will hold us back because of the beliefs, the limitations, the experiences that we harness and hold within. I'd love for you to kind of unpack a little bit of that.
No, look, fear obviously is crippling, but it also can be the number one motivator in the history of the world. So it cuts both ways. And I tell a lot of the students, okay, I want you to try to do this, whether it be, okay, I want you to go run 10 miles. And they're already thinking, hey, I'm going to pass out, you know, it's 90 degrees, or they're not going to do it. But if I say, okay, I'm going to give you $10,000 if you go run 10 miles, all the kids are up out of the bleachers, they're going to go run. So you see what I'm saying? This is what people have to understand. The key is you cannot be afraid to fail. Failure is good. That means you're trying. If you want to stay undefeated, just stay in bed. But then you're going to get defeated if you stay in bed for too long too. People have to understand failure is good. That's what it is. See, because no one wants to be a failure, but failure is good. Because that means you're trying and you're going to go to the next level. So it's perspective. But fear stops people from even trying, okay? Now, you don't want to be fearless unless you're prepared properly. There's a fine line between courage and stupidity. You got to be careful with that. But in general, people are afraid. I can't do this. I can't do that. And when they're put in that situation or certain things stimulate them to try to do that, then they get confidence. So that would be what I just said is so powerful for anybody. Okay, failure is good. And if they don't understand what I'm saying, losing is good. No one's going undefeated. No one ever has. No one ever will. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. A perfect example. Okay, I'm going to throw in the tennis here. This 10-year-old video I have of Serena. Everybody has seen that video. And that I probably have had 20,000 parents around the world that have seen that video when she was 10 and said, my kid's better than that, because they were looking at the outside at the book, okay? And you don't judge a book by the cover. You know what I'm saying? They saw arms and legs and hair and beads everywhere, and she was all over the place. They couldn't see what was inside. There was a rage. There was building confidence. There was a Compton street fight. She had all the inner qualities already in there prior to Rick Macy. Okay. And that's why I took a chance on her and VW, because I knew they'd be bulletproof. You can learn the other stuff. Now, environment has something to do with it. Obviously, the people you're around, so on and so forth. But that's a big thing, because most people, when they looked at that video, that's what they saw. They wouldn't have thought that little girl is going to be the greatest tennis player of all time. They didn't know what was inside. I did. Okay. At the end of the day, I think that shows everybody. It's what's on the inside that's going to determine what comes on the outside.
Okay. And just with that rigid amount, seeing her, I think some of the concepts in the book, the way I talk about, it's like visualizations.
Think about visualization, that how much that can help with fear. Because if we visualize the positive outcome, that reduces our fear so much. For example, like even, and I said when I was texting Greg, you know, it was about a year or more than a year ago. It's not someone I text every day, but I was, gosh, what is he going to say? What if he says no? I actually thought that moment, I said, what if it's yes? And what if this is awesome? Like, then all of a sudden that fear disappears, because then you're like, you're thinking so positively, you forget about what's not going to happen. So visualization can be really important. Thinking loops are really important to help with figuring out why there's so much fear. It might have been somebody saying something in the past, your mom, grandma, you know, parents, uncle, who knows, family member or some coach, somebody saying something to instill fear in you, or an event that hurt you, a trauma. So that kind of stuff is very important to go back and figure out why there's fear, and that will help get rid of it. I think one of our schooling systems, I think it's great to go to school. Obviously, I went to like Harvard and studied all. But one of the things that I've recognized is that in our school system, we've always been taught that failure is bad. Failure is wrong. Like you miss a point. Oh no, now you get a bad score, right? And it's one of these, that's not what real life is. Failure is actually good. And failure is important. So we don't embrace failure the way it should be embraced. And the way you develop all this fear towards failure. So I think recognizing all of this, being aware of it, being aware of how our thoughts are, thinking loops, visualization, amongst many other things, and then not being afraid to embrace failure as a part of life and as a part of growth. Sometimes failure can be something that's going to launch you to the next level.
Okay. And one more thing. She went to Harvard. I actually went there too, but I went there to visit someone way back in the day. So I went there also. But regarding this fear, this fear stuff. Okay, I'll say it again. I just think reading positive things, hearing positive things, changing your environment, staying away from the negativity, all this stuff gravitates towards confidence. And because it's about the confident woman, you know, all the other stuff can make it tougher, you know. When you have all that stuff, you get on that hamster wheel and you go round and round. It's the same stuff. You got to want to change, different perspective, what you hear, what you eat, what you read, all this stuff, because everybody needs a helping hand. I don't care. That's why the greatest athletes in the world, they have coaches, they have mentors. You don't know what they do when the door closes, what they read, how they visualize, the mental stuff that they do. You just turn on your TV set and see, bang. Everybody has the same problem. I don't care what walk of life, same problem, different level, different degree. It's the same stuff. It's how you handle it. It's, you know, what you read every day, what you're putting in your head. But some people, unfortunately, like the car crashes. They like the gossip. They like all that other stuff. And all that stuff can take away from you empowering yourself and becoming more confident.
Right. That potential gets diminished by what we're consuming. If we're
absolutely
as consumers, we're consumers of everything, from what we hear, we listen, we feed everything is coming in. And so what's inside of us will eventually come out of us. And so we are the fruit that we produce. So what are we inside that now we're the result of? So I love that you talked about fear and failure, which I want to go back to one of the points that you made, Rick, about the road to success. Because when we look at success, we tend to think, again, externally, what we can achieve, how we can get there is a straight shot. But the stepping stones that lead there, and you talked about, it's a story. Everyone has a through line. It's a story to success, not a roadmap to success.
Listen, the only time anything's over is when you quit.
That's it.
You're going to ship the sales many times. You know what I mean? And don't limit your challenges. You know, challenge your limits. Okay, you got to do this differently. But people don't do that. They don't do that. Okay? You should want to get better every day and have that conversation with yourself. Because if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. No one starts at the top. It's step by step. And people have to understand that. Sure, some people maybe have, you know, a little better academically, or they're better this and that. But that doesn't mean that can't be you. You know, if you're persistent and you don't give up, the only time it's over is when you quit. But people don't look at it that way. When they fail or they get the door closed on them, they feel unconfident. And then they can start going the other way. And they just stay in their little comfort zone. If you stay in your comfort zone, you'll never get in the end zone. Touchdown. This is very important for people to understand how the people at the top, and if they would ever listen to their stories, they would go, I never knew that. I never thought that. That's amazing. They would never think of the journey that they took. They didn't have maybe a mom or a dad. They didn't have money, didn't have this. They didn't have opportunity. We've seen it the other way. Everybody has everything and they don't do anything with it. Nope. You got to work at it every day. This is very important for anybody to understand. It's a journey. The game of life gets over very quickly, or you can't get back time. You don't want to waste time. It's all perspective, but I want everybody to understand that this takes a long time. It's okay to change your goals. Many people do all the time. That's part of this whole thing. Don't think, okay, I'm going to do this at age 20 and I'll do it to 60. That's okay to do that. But the more different things you try and fail, you'll just keep building and building and you'll find your niche. Because no matter what you do, if you love it and you have passion, you're going to be the best you can be. And that's what life's all about. Just trying to be the best you can be. That's your goal.
Woo. Great advice. And Dr. Nib, what would you love to add to that? Because we talk about personal and professional success and how that success, again, isn't linear. And just because we could see somebody else succeed, we don't know the journey and the struggle that led behind there. So what were some of the points that you might want to add to what Rick shared, but also some of the context that's in the book?
Yeah, no, I think personal success is very, very individualized.
They were always trying to find against the cookie cutter person in the cookie cutter world, is we're in this routine that nobody else really questions. And then that routine makes us so average. We never ever focus on what we can do and how we can achieve and how we can contribute to the world. And we have to really focus on ourselves. What is that one unique thing that we have? It's like this game, like go to this school and this college and achieve these scores and do this and go to this profession and this cookie cutter world, but it doesn't really accentuate who we are. You know, we don't look inside and say, this is, there's something really unique about us. I think that's a very important thing to do, is that self-reflection. We all have trouble. We all have to go through obstacles and things like that. But when we realize what our passion is, and I always tell people, the one way you realize that is when you do it without getting paid. You know, really love it. During it at night, nobody's telling you to do it, and you just love it. This is something that I figured out, like, day after day, I was studying mental strength and thoughts and patterns. I was like, how is it that we can program computers and we can't program our mind? I love that. You don't have to tell me. I'll do it for hours, and I'll listen to it. I still listen to it every day. You know, listen to podcast all day long on YouTube, because that's really is my passion. When you find your passion, it can be anything, you know, and you can't look back. Nobody can stop you. That is the truth. And being one with yourself is the most important, honest truth with yourself, rather than trying to please somebody else. Another exercise you can do is not only just think, okay, what is it that I have to do without getting paid? The other thing is if I were to die tomorrow or die in a week, am I doing what I really want? That's so important. I do that exercise again. Because I have patients that are dying, so I'm telling them, are you doing what you want? Are you fulfilling your life? Are you living up to the max potential? Are you enjoying life? Is it full of joy? I love that. Well,
and one other thing, you know, that successful people, success comes in many shapes and sizes. You know, it's not just monetary. They are the hardest workers on planet Earth.
Very true.
And listen, hard work is never going to, you know, everybody wants a shortcut. You get what you deserve. You know, if you work hard, you're going to feel like you're hardly working. It's very important that everybody understand you got to work hard. You can work smarter and you can work better, but you have to try to out the other person. And this is very important for everybody. Unfortunately, most people generally are lazy. Okay. They let other things dictate that. The only thing you got control over, the only thing is your attitude. Is your attitude. That's the only thing you got control over. Okay. And you got to always remember that, your attitude. And when you can look at it with some of the gold nuggets and gems that we threw out in the podcast today, it's a game changer for the game of life. You know, so this is huge about just the work ethic. I've never heard anybody that was the best in anything and say, I just got lucky and here I am. You know, no, I've never heard that. You know, they've worked so hard at one point, and sure, they can monetize it in other different ways and have other people assist. They still work. It's just, they never retire. They just want to, because they love it so much and it's a part of them, you know? So everybody has to understand there's no shortcuts.
I would walk there.
So there's no shortcuts.
I said that because have you ever seen anybody with a perfect body who's not eaten perfectly and exercised? No, but humans, we all want the quick fix. Who can achieve a perfect body without exercise or diet? Not possible, right? Same thing with mental strength. It's not possible without working at it. And it's not possible with anything. It's kind of life and any sort of success. Everybody wants the easy way, but there is no easy way. Unfortunately. And so that's why this book is really important.
I get up every day at 2 o'clock. I have 4 yogurts. I have 4 waters. I run a 30-mile. I pet my cat. I come up here in the office. I return all the email. I get everything ready from a business point of view. And I'm usually on the court at 5 o'clock. Changing lives, not just strokes. 7 days a week, 50 hours, and still do is at age 69 because I have the passion, the drive. I love it. I have a gift to extract greatness from others. I was put out here not just to show people how to serve, but to serve. I think it's important because I don't even have to do this. I want to do this. And I think that's really important. But along the way, there was zigging and zagging and up and down. It's not where you start. It's where you finish.
People don't know, right? That's amazing. Like how there are a couple of things about you that still remain the outlet, I think. But you just eat. I was telling my patients today that you eat like 5 items every day for 30 years, the same thing.
Recommend that to people. I'm not
feeling about with your health and your body and your, you know, everything. You're just so much, takes so much mind control. To eat yogurt.
That's true.
That's what I meant in second. I the thread. The very competitive.
She's a bodybuilder. She can relate. You can relate to what I'm saying.
Yeah. You walk very disciplined.
Yeah.
But your whole life still finish.
And perhaps a whole other thing when we talk about mentor or coach or whatever. I lead by example. I haven't sat on a tennis court in 30 years. I lead by example. I still pick up the ball. So when you have kids under 18 or even anybody, they see that, and that ripples onto the game of life. Forget their tennis game, the work at the drive, the motivation. You know, they might listen more to me than a parent, you know, just because of those life lessons that are there every single day. Then if they have some ability and talent and hard work, greatness could be in the oven.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's just about your discipline, the passion, the enthusiasm. And like you said, Rick, it's like, you don't have to do this, but you get to do that. And that's something that is a gift that you get to give back to yourself because it's so fulfilling. I think that that's ultimately what you're after. Now, anybody could be successful at what they strive to achieve, but yet is there meaning and fulfillment behind that? And that's sometimes where we see a disconnect. And I think that you tackle this in the book as well about, you know, having that attitude of gratitude and coming from a place of service. And that's, again, flipping the script. And it's the whole narrative of how you as an individual live and lead your life.
Absolutely.
So as we wrap up today's conversation, I would love for you guys, if there's anything we did not talk about in the book or anything you want to definitely make note of, I'd love for you guys to have a moment to kind of close this up. And of course, tell our listeners how they could find this book, purchase the book and follow along.
That's my life-changing experience. I think figuring out about your mind and how we didn't really touch up too much about how easily manipulated it is, but everything, like the external environment or internal environment, it could be anything. So being aware of that and being in control is so important. A game changer. We have a regular book. We have a journal. We have one for kids. I highly recommend that too. We have a Kindle version. We have an Audible, and a course is coming out soon. So you can also purchase a training course. So if you think about, we do a lot of physical therapy and physical training. We're going to be doing mental training, and that'll be online for purchase soon. And you can find on Amazon, books all over the world, as well as Spotify. There's on TikTok. You can buy it as well. So there's like little shops there and Shopify. So we've put the book out in many places where you can buy it. You can also message us. We're all over social media. So you can find us on social media and message us if you want to buy like paper orders of the book, just at gifts or to change people in the breathing.
One thing that besides all the magic from Dr. Niv in the book, there's so many gold nuggets of how I help people and how I think of things to extract greatness. And for people to have all those, it's like 60 hours of private lessons from Rick Macy, but has nothing to do with tennis. Like I said, I'm more of a life coach than a tennis coach, even though we're on cutting edge with biomechanics and all the other things that we do. And that's what I like about the book, because people come back and have said those things. And that's huge. Like I said, one word, one sentence, one paragraph. And even people from the past that I've coached, they come back and they say the exact quote. Because here at the Rick Macy Academy, there's probably 100 signs sprinkled. There's signs sprinkled all throughout the place. People take pictures by it. They read it. The sign is powerful. And I tell them, look, it's a good sign. If you read it, fine. You know, I tell everybody that. So in the book, like we said earlier, people are kind of aware of what they put in their mouth, but they're not aware always what they put in their head. When they read the book and they keep reading it, one thing can change everything. So the response has been amazing.
Yes, I'm so excited. I'm excited for all that's to come. I mean, you guys got a lot of work and love that went into this book, and of course, turning it into journals and a version for children. And now you have your training course coming out. This has been a labor of love, which I could tell because you guys are both so passionate about changing the lives, and it really starts from within and that mindset approach. So I just want to thank you guys for being our guest here on the Confident Woman podcast. And we look forward to just following along on your journey and being a part of what you guys have and bringing it into the world. So thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.